Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The basis for this morning's meditation, recorded again in 2 Peter 3, particularly verses 8 and 9, and I'll read those again. But do not overlook this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord one day is as a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. This is the text. I wish you a warm and peace-filled Advent. This is a season of the church year where we consider time itself. We look at Old Testament prophecies, Adam and Eve, Abraham, David, the words of the prophets, Isaiah and Zechariah, and all who point to the coming of Christ. Special attention was given last Sunday when in Isaiah 40, God speaks benevolently to his children. Comfort ye, my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem and cry to her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh will see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. The loving words of God pronounces this time of slavery in Babylon is coming to an end. But even more so, this highlights the theme of the Apostle Peter. Isaiah illustrates the fulfillment accomplished in the Lord's eternal time in a way of his choosing, all of which culminates in an even greater redemption. Freedom for all people. Freedom from a far greater slavery than the Babylonian Empire. In God's time, freedom comes to all. Isaiah 40 points to John the Baptist, who reveals Christ, all in God's time and in his way. As we read the great promise in Advent, and hear of boundless hope, time gives way to the coming of Christmas. In Advent, there is a pointing of fulfillment of God's promise, the coming of the Christ child, and the second coming of Jesus in glory. In Advent, we hear prophecies of Christ, his life and ministry. We hear of God's coming promise fulfilled under his son, Jesus. And we are comforted by his death for the redemption of humanity. We're comforted by the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. In Advent, we look to Christ in the future, his soon return. In his time, the Lord God Sabaoth returns. So under all that, I repeat again, I wish you a warm and peace-filled Advent. This text of St. Peter has a wonderful turn. Although written in response to those not happy with God's timeline, it carries an additional unexpected twist. We're asked to look at time, see how precious time is, and how the Lord God, though above time itself, enters into it and rescues his people he loves so much. Allow me to illustrate an example of this from history. Your history, my history. This is an important day in our country, December 7th, and I'm referring to December 7th, 1941. 79 years ago, the world was in a different place. 79 years ago, on December 7th, our nation was rocked by a surprise attack and placed us in the midst of a violent war, the most violent war of the 20th century. This is not a war for land or riches or containment of a renegade dictator. It was a struggle of right versus wrong, good versus evil. It was a struggle where the conclusion was either freedom or enslavement, or just as likely, annihilation. World War II cost the lives of tens of millions of people. This war was so tumultuous that nations were defeated, kingdoms destroyed, maps of Europe and Asia and Africa were redrawn. 79 years ago, Great Britain stood alone in Europe against the Nazi war machine. France was defeated and her armies scattered. The British army was evacuated off of Dunkirk. The skies over Britain 79 years ago were filled with aircraft of both sides fighting it out. For over a year and a half, she was in one of the most desperate air battles of history, called the Battle of Britain. It was not certain who would win. Britannia barely holding. 6 months before Pearl Harbor, 79 years ago, in June 1941, the forces of Nazi Germany launched Operation Barbarossa, the invasion of the Soviet Union. In December of 1941, Stalin and his forces were reeling back. They were against the ropes. Massive pitched battles against Nazi armor. The Soviet Union was trading hundreds of miles of her precious earth and thousands of soldiers for this precious thing called time, in order to rebuild and resupply her armies. 79 years ago, the United States, hearing the drumbeats of war, was still a reluctant global good neighbor. Our national will was to play in relative safety of isolationism. America knew time was running out for it to stand against evil. And so on this day, December 7th, 1941, the attack by the Empire of Japan upon the United States occurred, an unprovoked attack against our naval base at Pearl Harbor and in the Philippines. There was a ship moored off of Ford Island, the USS California. At 0755, general quarters sounded. The sailors immediately began closing hatches and bulkhead doors. The attack happened so quickly, they were unable to get all the hatches and doors closed, and the first torpedo hit. The California didn't have a ship moored next to her. Thus, her machine guns began firing on the torpedo bombers at 0803, 8 minutes after the attack. At 0805, the first torpedo hit the California. The second came moments later. Although her crew initiated counter flooding to prevent a capsize, a gaping hole caused the California to start listing heavily to port. Soon, the compartment where the ammunition was stored was flooded and could not be accessed. The California briefly lost power when salt water rushing in the gaping holes got into the fuel tank. However, power was restored in time to fight fires that had broken out on board. Her crew was briefly ordered to abandon ship because of the fires, but they were able to get the fires under control and they canceled the order to abandon ship. A number of explosives fell near the ship, causing little damage, but a 551-pound bomb landed on her starboard deck, killing 50 sailors. In total, 102 sailors died aboard the USS California, and 62 more were wounded. At the epicenter of the attack on Pearl Harbor was a man going about the duties of ministering to sailors. He was a Minnesota-born, a pastor of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, a graduate of this institute, Concordia Seminary, St. Louis. He was in the right place at the right time. Raymond Hohenstein was conducting worship services on the forecastle, that is the front part of the battleship California. On that atypical Sunday morning on December 7th, 1941, Hohenstein helped rescue men from a flooding compartment under number two turret, that big massive circular thing where those huge cannons sit. Chaplain Ray eventually was overcome by smoke and fumes. Later, Hohenstein suffered shrapnel burns on the quarter deck. Hohenstein became the first living chaplain in the United States Navy to receive the Purple Heart, one of our own, a graduate of Concordia Seminary, St. Louis, Missouri. In the middle of a disastrous mess and confusion of a sinking ship, Chaplain Hohenstein represented our Savior and a rescuer by caring for and giving aid to a number of sailors trapped and certainly near death. The USS California was sunk, 102 sailors lost. But the California was later raised from the bottom off of Ford Island, and by 1944 was again in action against the forces of the Empire of Japan and the Marianas. On that ship, on that dreadful day, many lives were saved because a pastor was in the right place at the right time. He was providing confession and absolution and caring for his sheep as a shepherd is wont to do. The Apostle Peter tells us that God's understanding of time is rooted in the deep love that he has for those whom he created. All mankind, all humanity. In the solid declaration of the Book of Concord, the confessional writers understood 2 Peter chapter 3 in this way. God is not the cause of sin, nor is he the cause of the punishment, the damnation. The only cause of man's damnation is sin, for the wages of sin is death, Romans chapter 6. And as God does not will sin and has no pleasure in sin, so he also does not will the death of a sinner and has no pleasure in his damnation. He does not will that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. I want to talk to the students, if you don't mind. Students, you do not yet fully know the impact you're going to accomplish in God's time. Someone within the sound of my voice is another future Raymond Hohenstein. How many souls through the Holy Spirit will you save from eternal hell? What amazing, good, and great things will you accomplish in God's magnificent timeline, being at the right place at the right time? Teaching, training, counseling, distributing the sacrament, being with someone as you place their hand from yours into the loving embrace of the Savior on their last day on earth to life eternal. Where we stand now, God is not telling us what your future will be, but it's going to be magnificent and wonderful and well worth the effort. This sermon is not a class on horology, the exploration of time. We're not here to come up with an intelligent date and time of the second coming. Nor are we a peanut gallery making catcalls and criticisms at our Savior and King for not moving in the time and speed of our desires. This is about God's love for all humanity and his involvement in time for his pleasure and purpose for the salvation of all. This is about love. This is about God's love. The dying of Jesus on the cross for the redemption of humanity. This is about your sins forgiven no matter how miserable a sinner you are. This is about God doing all the work and you receiving all the treasures of heaven. Luther wrote about 2 Peter chapter 3 in this way. Before God, there is no reckoning of time. 1,000 years must be, as it were, a day in his eyes. That is why the first human being, Adam, is just as near to him as he who will be born last before the last day. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 3 is about the unfathomable depths of the Lord God who loves you so deeply, who cares for you and all humanity, who loves you, and he wants to see you. He wants to love you, and he wants to be a part of your life. He's there to help you navigate through sadness and pain, and for you to see the demonstration of his will. So in this season, in his time, I wish you a warm and peace-filled Advent, the season of the church year where we consider time itself. And we ask this in his holy and precious name, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.